Fresh Takes.
Welcome to Don't Devolve Me.
Oh, hey. You're here.
I have a physical manifestation in this world now, finally.
You're not just a voice. It's Michael Schumer. El Papi. I like El.
You know what I just realized? It's like whenever you post these on TikTok, that's 100% what people are.
It's El Papi, everybody.
I'm going to start throwing my social tags in there so it's at least a little bit easier to find me.
No, you're El Papi.
El Papi. Oh, I'm going to get roasted for that one.
Or reported to ICE. Anyway.
Yeah. Oof. Topical.
I feel dirty now. Anyway, moving on to Last of Us Season 2, Episode 4, not Take On Me. It's day one.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that.
A little bit too. I like the call. I like the call for Take On Me, and then I look at the episode title. I'm like, day one? I mean, it makes sense, but also boring.
Yeah, very boring title. Honestly, like
it's two.
Jake, you said it yesterday. You said it last day. You said it was two. You said they were getting their names sucked.
Their titles suck. It's a two. It's a two minus. Maybe it's a two. I don't know. It's boring
for the title. You mean
it's boring? It's a boring title. Day one's fine. It's just a boring episode title. All right, we're getting into it because you might have to go at any point. So we're gonna get into it. What happened in the episode? Josh Peck retells the story of everyone, or the Fedra, harassing civilians. Did not realize it was Josh Peck at the time.
My buddy caught up when we were watching.
He's did
like,
he?
That's nice. Fucking Josh Peck. And then I was like, I don't know, man. And then something he said, literally, he just sounded like... I was like, oh, yeah, that's 100% Josh Peck.
I watched it twice, and I watched it again right before we started airing. And I didn't catch it until I started doing the outline, and I was like, that was Josh. Okay, whatever. I'll have to rewatch it, and then I'm like, that's super obvious. But the thing is, like, the Josh Peck that I know and the Josh Peck that you know and probably most people know is chubby, little kid chubby Josh Peck telling funny jokes. Like, that's the Josh Peck we know.
I mean, he's still, he's technically telling funny jokes, depending on your perspective, so.
Well, not Isaac's perspective, where he tells Barton that they're called voters because they took away their rights, and that's them being mocked, and he also silenced the entire squad.
That line he has to him, I know you're telling just a really cool commentary, the line he says about you're thoughtless or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I'm sorry, I was like, oh, that's so savage.
Oh, I didn't mean it. He's like, of course he didn't. You're thoughtless. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I feel. I'm like, I'm vibing with Isaac, and this kind of,
oh yeah,
oof, I feel dirty. Is that the episode? Just me feeling dirty a bunch of times.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, we'll see. Well, they get stopped by a bus. A bunch of people come up. Isaac gets out. It's like, you know what? We're not going to shoot. We're going to talk to him. He meets Hanrahan. I don't know if that person's from the game.
Yeah, I don't recognize her at all.
He effectively defects to the wolves with Burton telling him, make a choice, throws a bunch of grenades into his old squads, shuts the truck, killing them all. And then that's when he turns to Burton. It's time to make a choice. And I'm like, that's a freaking crazy cold open.
Mm-hmm.
11 years later, we're not going necessarily a chronicle order for what happened in the television show. Or in the episode, 11 years later, Isaac is now the leader. He's interrogating a Seraphite, who we call Scar, with a heated pan, talking about how copper pans are great for cooking, but not really great for, you know, torture. Seraphite's very much like, F you, I'm not going to tell you anything. You guys are going to lose. And when he goes to grab the pan, he holds out his hand. Isaac realizing that he would rather get tortured than tell the truth, he shoots him.
Such an incredible scene. I was like, damn.
When he's yeah.
Like, and again, then, I don't give a fuck.
The description says Burton says it, but I thought it was Manny. One of them said Scar's fucking deserved it. which is very much the mindset in the game.
I didn't catch this, but that's actually the kid from the beginning of the episode.
Yep, yep. I didn't catch it either, but I thought it was Manny at first.
Oh, yeah, the darker hair threw me off for sure.
Mm. So I was like, my thought was Manny, and then the description said it was Burton. I'm not necessarily convinced, but I mean, it would make sense episodically if that was... Ellie and Dina search Seattle. Dina finds a pregnancy test in her search, takes said pregnancy test. Ellie attempts to wake up the neighborhood with her failed opening of a tank latch. They find a wolf building way up high on a hill via satellite for a television studio. Ellie is like, let's go. Dina's like, think about it for a second. Realized they're on the hill. It's very obvious. They probably have, you know, lots of defenses, and they'll probably see him coming. Let's wait at night. We're going to camp out here at a music store. Ellie finds a guitar, starts to play, and sings the song, Take On Me. Dina walks in, and they continue to play. Very much resembling the scene from the game, which is probably one of, if not the most famous scene from the game, outside of, you know, Joel's death.
I don't know if it's a very... I have personal takes on that, but...
It's a memorable scene from the game people, I think, had in mind, like, I want to see this.
Did you know it's actually optional?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought that was crazy. Yeah. Like, I love exploring the world, but I found out afterwards that that's entirely missable, which is wild.
Yeah, very much missable. And also, so is, you know, Dina's and Ellie's whole romance, because a lot of it is during the gameplay. At night, they go to the television station. They find wolves brutally killed with arrows. Dina throws up after the sight. Inside the station, they find more wolves hanging in the air. Wolves arrive on scene and reacting to, you know, seeing their comrades all being hung. And they eventually surround Ellie and Dina. Ellie is in a position where she has to confront one of the soldiers. Dina ends up shooting her, shoots the window, and they escape. And as they're escaping, they run into a subway where the group of wolves follow. Inside the subway, a mass amount of affected arrive in the area, much resembling the subway scene in the game. Dina and Ellie go on subway and up top the train, into the train, and pretty much up and around, escaping the mass amounts of affected and clickers. But while escaping through a gate, Dina gets stuck. Ellie, deciding to block the clicker bite or infected bite, gets bit herself. They escape the subway, arrive at the theater. Dina pulls out her gun with the intentions of shooting her. Ellie pleads, saying, I'm fine, I'm immune. Barters with her, he's like, I'm going to go sit over there, I'm going to fall asleep, and I'm going to wake up just fine. When Ellie wakes up, Dina confesses that she's pregnant. The two have sex. The two overhear the chatter at the hospital. Ellie suggests that Dina stays behind, and Dina's like, we're in this together. And that is where the episode ends. Michael, did I miss anything?
I think you got it all. I can't think of anything substantial you missed. I think you got it on the point, my man.
Good. There's a lot of details in there. There's a lot of details we could, like, talk about. You know, of course. This is one of those shows that, like, you could probably spend hours dissecting each scene panel by panel, because there's just so much in the background, so much in the environment, and also just so many different relationship dynamics that is just on play. So we're gonna get into it. 5 questions to appease Michael. Yeah, that is the name. It might be the name for every review. 5 questions to appease Michael. Michael, are you appeased?
We shall see. If it's 5, I'm trying to think of, like, the straight to jail meme, whatever. 4, straight to jail. 6, straight to jail. 5, surprisingly, straight to jail. It's like, I think it's like an old Parks and Rec. It's like a Fred Armisen bit, whatever. It's, if you know, you know.
I don't know.
I'll leave it at that.
I don't know. Maybe it's We're Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It could be that. I don't know where I've seen it before, but it's just...
I feel like it's that, because that's a show that I haven't watched, and yes, I know I should watch it. I've been told that many, many times. You're going to look it up. Five.
It is. It's Parks and Rec. Sorry.
Is Parks and Rec?
Yeah, I'll send it to you here. Okay.
Okay, now I'm disappointed in myself. Anyway, five questions to appease Michael. We got Isaac Lore. I'm going to start here. We got Isaac Lore. My question for you is, how much Isaac Lore do we want?
I was going to ask you, this is actually one of my discussions.
More or less than the Casey Queen herself.
I want more. Honestly, Isaac, so I don't think this is going to be a spoiler, but if it is, cut out the next 10 seconds. Isaac's in the game, for those that don't know, he is in the game, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have a very prominent role.
Not
however, what I have found, just with my deep dive into this game and just absolutely wanting to know everything I possibly can, is he was supposed to have a lot more prominent of a role. He was. Substantially. So I think this is the creator's attempt to be like, hey, I can actually fucking do this now because I have time. Especially now that they are definitely getting a season three.
He definitely was like cut later on. Cause like it was surprising that Jeffrey Wright got a role for such a,
I was so happy. And he just eats this whole fucking scene.
He does. He's a great actor. And I'm happy that he is back in the show. It makes sense. This is a very like well sought out show. And I mean, Pedro Pascal is like the lead or was the lead. And he's huge in Hollywood right now. I really like Jeffrey Wright. I really like Isaac. I really wish we had more in the game. It's surprising that Jeffrey Wright got even like hired to do that role just because Isaac in the game, just he wasn't that prominent. I think he's more prominent as the idea. It's very much in the same way that the Seraphite's Prophet is like big in the idea.
I really wonder if we'll see more of that. That's what I want to know.
Me too. And I think we're getting to see more of Isaac. We're getting to understand him more, because I think if we understand Isaac more, we understand the wolves' goals and their old conflict with the Seraphites. So I personally want all the Isaac. I mean, Jeffrey Wright's just great. So yeah. How much Isaac? We got a lot. We can talk about Isaac Lore a little bit.
Yeah, because there was some stuff in the game, but it was very minimal. And like, I remembered seeing kind of a sidebar. The friend I watched the episode with, he actually ended up picking up part two on Steam and he was playing it yesterday, which is hilarious because he doesn't do horror games. So I was just laughing hysterically through almost the entirety of that play session. Sorry, Dave. I remember there's a point early on in the game, but we haven't gotten there yet, where you're exploring Seattle and you find a note about Isaac and like him, a couple notes, and like one of them implying that he betrayed, and I think it must have been Fedra soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got to actually see that happen, like what the context was, among other things. So, but yeah, he's just this domineering presence.
Mm-hmm.
And just so fucking cold with that make your choice line, or the or just him doing the cooking story, or the your thought, just every fucking line he just eats, he just owns it. He could be like, this could be the, that's what I think I respect about Jeffrey Wright as an actor. He doesn't really seem like the type to phone it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like every time you see him on stage or on live, he eats it up. So
he's like a character who he's like an actor who like breathes as this character. Like that's, he very much just embodies that character fully. I really enjoyed the performance. I didn't think there was like a whole lot to eat, at least in the first part where they're in the truck. But the little bits that he got to eat, he fucking ate. Like his voice immediately when he started talking, I was like, holy shit, I didn't realize Isaac was in here. I didn't realize this was an Isaac scene. I just heard the voice. I'm like, all right, he's demanding presence, and he got it. He got the presence of everyone there. Everyone shut the F up. I like the cooking like lines of him just comparing like the different pans and be like, I have the whole set. I dreamed of having this whole set, you know, the perks of an apocalypse. I'm like, I just want to hear Isaac talk about
he can There's a lot of like sub shows that come out. Remember, what was the show we said we could watch an entire show about? Oh, like the Council and Jackson.
Oh yeah.
As fucked up as it is, that's a show about him just casually torturing people and telling his backstory. I mean, it's Jeffrey Wright. I would watch it. I'm not saying I agree with the man, but I'm not going to say he isn't captivating.
We get like the good Parks and Rec show of putting Parks and Rec. I made this reference already, but the Parks and Rec, like, you know, Department of Jackson. And then getting the Parks and Rec Department of Seattle or like the Wolves territory. It would be interesting. Like, I think it would be an interesting show, at least like a mini series, even if it's not just that serious.
Very like Better Call Saul coded. I'm for it.
Oh wait, I'm trying to think. No, Wolves Pet Control. It'd be so cute until you realize Ellie's coming.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting the spoilers.
We're getting out of the way. That's all right.
She kills a dog, people.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll
I feel dirty that. Now.
But yeah, I don't know. I think one of my questions was going to be like, what your thoughts were on Jeffrey Wright and getting to see more eyes. Like, I'm personally a huge fan.
Oh yeah,
and I hope we get to see more. Honestly,
I am just hoping to see more scenes. I'm guessing this is going to be the torture scene that's similar to the game that's a little bit further ahead. I'm guessing that that's going to be like that moment. But I'm excited to just see more of him. I think he's going to be more of a season 3 presence when we move into more of that storyline. I will leave it at that. For those who know, you know. But yeah, I'm just excited to see more Isaac. I didn't think we were going to see him this early, and I'm happy that we did. And I'm happy that we're getting more of that balanced look at the three different groups that were in Seattle.
I was going to say, that's been one huge pro about the show's approach. You actually get to really like understand.
And we're able to, because we're seeing more perspectives. We're not just getting game perspective, which is what they did in the show from season one. They're like, in the game, you have to be in the character's perspective. Like, you can't really go elsewhere. You have to, like, you're experiencing what your character is experiencing. But this is a show of many characters. So we're able to see Isaac Lore without being a character. We're able to see these other things without our characters needing to be there. And there's a perk in Absolutely. That approach. I really want to ask this question, but I want to save it. If you have one, go.
Oh, I did have one. What was I going to say here? What did you think about the reordering of events? Like, it's a far cry from how this part plays out in the game.
As in, like,
because you get the television station. I don't even think that happened. No, that did happen before.
That was day one. It was the end of day one.
But just how they got there, like.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, the incentive to get there was very different.
I thought it worked. I think, like, in the game, you're just exploring. You're going from the bank scene. We're not getting the bank scene more likely. We're getting.
Was there really even a scene? I mean, you get the shotgun.
No, but it was really cool. Like, the idea of somebody trying to rob a bank
during the infection, and then
and then they all die at the end because of it. It's like, well, look, you could have all this money. It's like, well, what the fuck are you going to do with millions upon millions of dollar bills? It's like, here in the pocket,
literally useless. Yeah,
they don't do shit.
I gotta plug in here because apparently my battery's dying, so I'm gonna look like a fucking
we got the cord.
We're matching. Oh, twinning, dude,
we're twinning.
So cute.
Now you need a ponytail so you can twin some more.
No, that's not happening. I do like a front tail.
Yeah, maybe
a little, like, nah, it doesn't really work. Just go back.
But the reordering events, I thought it was fine. Like, it worked. I didn't expect them to have much of a different order. I liked how they're just like, oh, we're going to camp here rather than explore. I thought it worked. We got this one scene that I think everybody wanted to see. Like, I would rather have the record store rather than like,
ooh, I okay, keep going. I remember there's a question that kind of follows up with that question related to the record store scene. Record store scene.
So yeah, but I'll ask my question that comes with this. Mm-hmm. Take On Me. Is this a good replacement for the Pearl Jam song?
She does sing it in the game too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's where my question was going to be is, because in the game, how that plays out is future. She starts playing Future Days.
Yep.
And then as soon as Dina walks in, she instantly stops. Like it's such mm-hmm. a safe, like a precious moment to her.
Yeah.
And she's like, what were you playing? And she's like, nothing. And she's like, well, it sounded nice. And Ellie gets kind of uncomfortable. And then she's like, I'll play you this song. And then she put her Take Out Me. I don't know. Like,
is that how that worked in the game?
I'm about 95% because like it's that's like one thing I'm really surprised by is that motif of Future Days like throughout mm-hmm. the game. I'm surprised they haven't kept that.
I'm surprised they didn't keep it the same. I'm surprised that they didn't replace it. But I don't mind Take On Me here. I don't mind the scene. I'm like it works. It's about their romance. I don't hate it. I don't like love it. I'm not like, yeah, this is the best choice. To me, I thought it was like it's a little cliche.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly would much prefer a song that we weren't really familiar with.
Well, especially because Take On Me was already prominent in the first season. I think that's one good criticism that could be kind of levied. It was in all the trailers, it was in the episode mm-hmm. with her and what's the character's name? Riley. That's so sad. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Whatever. But going with that, like, okay, so I'm going to bounce off your question, this question into my question. How do you feel about the changes they've made to Dina and Ellie's relationship?
That was my next question, too.
Hey, we're the same. Nice. I think we have, honestly, half the time we do this, it's like we have like one or two questions that are different, but the rest are always like, parody.
It's almost like we have ADHD mind and we just link together.
Yeah, we catch the same, mm-hmm. same
trait. It's different. In the games, you kind of have a romance right away. And it's like a romance that was building off screen. And then on screen, they were just kind of like a beginning couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in the little bits where you get to explore, you get to see kind of like how their relationship is. And I really like discovering that as a player. But from a TV show perspective, I kind of like the way that they did it here. And I like how we got to see, like we know that they're friends. We get to hear about how they're friends. We get to see their friendship, the back and forth. But I also really like this story about how like Dina was explaining like, she was kind of always told you like boys. And I like how she just explained it. Even though it was like a little on the nose, it does answer a question of like, was Dina always gay? Was she always bi? Like, where does Dina stand? Because we never really got that answered a whole lot in the game. We got like an idea, but we didn't really get it answered. And I feel like that kind of answered one of my questions of like, where was Dina? Yeah, what's her deal? And like her deal was she was always told to like boys and she just like with her and Jesse, it just like it didn't feel right. Whereas like we're with Ellie, she feels a little bit differently. And so I kind of like seeing that romance blossom into that. It goes from like a great friendship into the romance, especially at the part of like Ellie had her secret. She, you know, didn't share Dina that secret, and that kind of, you know, that was different than the games. There were spores. Oh, you're, you know, you got the spores in immune, you,
yeah,
and it's like you're fine, you're not turning. It's like, yep. Whereas this, it's like, you know, she saw Ellie get bit and it turned into, which leads to my question, Dina pulls a gun on Ellie and was ready to shoot Ellie. So my two question is, if Ellie was actually infected, would Dina actually be able to shoot her?
I think she would.
And is Dina like Joel in this sense?
You're gonna have to elaborate on the second part, but I think she would if she had. I don't think she would look forward to it. But I also think she just trusts Ellie when Ellie says, I'm immune. She's like, okay, I'll give you up until you prove that you're not. And I think, like, and I'm sure that would be the case in most people's lives. They'd be like, I'll let you prove you're, you know, innocent until proven guilty kind of thing. So, actually, yeah, no shaking. So what do you mean by the Joel thing?
So the Joel thing is, there's the whole lingering question, which I'm pretty sure in the flashback where we go to the science museum, we're going to get the answer to what happened to Eugene. Yeah. That's my prediction. Episode 6, it's going to be it. Like, I don't have much information that this is going to happen here, but this is my guess. It's episode 6. We're going to get that flashback. We're going to get Joel straight up killing Eugene as Eugene's trying to plead and barter his way to life.
I just had a fucking... It just hit me with how I think the rest of the show is going to... This season's going to go.
So, like, I think we're getting a flashback scene of just Joel straight up, like, killing Eugene without mercy, without hesitation. And I think Dina was, like Joel, going to do that to Ellie. And I think she was about to.
I think, real quick, I just have a random prediction. I just had a brain blast, and I need to get it out of my ADHD brain. Here's, I think, the structure for the next few episodes.
Go for it.
Next episode? So episode 5, right?
Yep.
Yeah, episode 5. Three episodes left. So episode 5 is going to be... God, I don't want to spoil this. I'm trying very carefully. I'll just say episode 5 will be Ellie's... the chase scene. That's what I'll see. The chase. Ellie's chase scene. With a prominent character. That's all I'll say.
Ooh, hospital.
And yes, the hospital.
That's... Not and spoiling.
That's not spoiling. It's such a, like, I do not want to spoil anything for anybody if I can help it, because it's such a powerful story.
Hospital,
I think episode
scene?
6 is going to be every single, because in the game, there's all the flashbacks are set, like, throughout. We haven't gotten a single one yet.
Yeah.
I think episode 6 is going to be that full story of what happens. And then I think episode 7 will be,
Day 3?
Yeah, day 3. So I think episode 5 would be day 2. Episode 6 will be bunch of flashbacks, bunch of context,
and they're doing it like the video games.
Yeah, and then episode 7. And then I do think this is gonna. I think the show will be part 2 will be done with Endis. Based off how I think things are going, I do think season 3 will be the ending of part 2. I don't think they're gonna do 3 seasons for part 2, which I like. I think 2 seasons is good. I think 3 would be really stretching it.
I want
very
3
cool.
seasons.
I want 3 seasons too, but I don't want it to come at the cost of the story being lesser. And I think it would be. Unfortunately, I wish there was. They could stretch it out, but
Here's my counter to that. Season 2 is all about getting Abby, right?
Yeah.
Season 3 is going to be the later story. Season 4 is going to be an expansion of the late acts of part 2. And I think we're going to get a finale to the series, whereas for part 2 is the finale for the game. And of course, like, the finale for the series is going to more or less do what part 2 did anyway. But I think it's going to end on a more significant, or more of a finale note. We're going to get, like, a sense of, like, where these characters go at the end. I think we get season 4. I really do.
The part of me that says HBO is calling the shots says you're probably right, but the part of me that says Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin would walk and thus, like, delegitimize the rest of the season.
Well, I think season 3 is going to be short. I don't think it's going to be super long. And I don't think season 4 is going to be super long. And I think that's how they're going to do it. I think they're going to tell their story. I think they're going to tell as many episodes as needed. Maybe season 3 is just a split of... maybe season 3 is a split and it's a longer season.
Yeah, 5 and 5 kind of thing?
Maybe like a 6 and a 5. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a longer season and they just kind of split the stories and that's season 3.
God, but they did that with House of the Dragon. I did not fucking like that at all.
I didn't either. So we'll see. We get in 7 episodes. We got 9 episodes before. I trust them at this point. Like, whatever they do, I'm excited for it.
Unless, big brain take here.
Part three comes out,
and they're like, we're fucking doing it. They're like, we just have to add a few months onto the timeline here. They'll have the trailer, and we're going to make lots of money here.
Money.
Unfortunately, I do think, as much as I love The Last of Us for its artistic integrity, I do think Naughty Dog, Sony, and HBO are looking at the cash cow, and they're like, we're gonna milk this fucker till it's literally nothing but flesh on.
I don't know about Naughty Dog, but you know, Sony for sure, HBO for sure, they're just like, yeah, let's try to milk it as much. I can see Drunkman just being like, no, we're gonna stick to the story. That's why it's great. We're not gonna push out more unless, like, because I feel like if they were gonna milk it, they would have milked it already, and we would have got Last of Us 7 coming out tomorrow.
I don't think Naughty Dog has pressure. Also, I did hear, I think it might have been debunked, but I thought I saw a rumor online that said that Naughty Dog has 3 games in active production right now. Allegedly. Who knows how fucking true that is?
I heard the rumor of 2. We obviously know of 1.
They usually do, from what I've seen about their structure, I think I texted you that long ass fucking thread about how they usually do like 1 and like they have 2 running, but it sounds like they might have 3 running concurrently. Which would track, because I was surprised they would dedicate a whole team to factions, and that ended up getting nixed.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. But going with that, and plus that documentary where Neil said, I think there's one more story to tell on this ride.
There really is.
We don't know when that was filmed. We do not know when that was filmed. True. We know he said it, but we don't know when it was filmed.
There's definitely another story. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Yeah. This is end of season 2 talk.
And it might be end of season 3 talk, honestly.
Yeah.
But this does lead me, this is a question I was going to ask before. Do you like, so they really changed up Ellie's reaction to Dina's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to spoil the game. This kind of maybe a big spoiler, but we'll see. But not. I mean, honestly, you guys already know that she's pregnant in the game. Ellie is not fucking happy about this.
Yeah.
She's not even remotely happy. It's like legitimate piss the fuck off. Like, how the hell couldn't she tell me? I'm so, like, she was legitimately furious, and there's kind of like a definite tension between the two of them.
Yeah, I think it works for the game. I don't think it would have worked here.
Yeah, I don't think it would have either.
I don't think they would have enough time without it feeling like cable television, which is why I'm really happy that Craig Mazin is here and just being like, yeah, let's cut that tension out, because it would be tension for tension's sake rather than it's actually like a really good part of their, you know, relationship buildup.
I'm just going to ask you, this is really not this, and do you think they bring him into the writer's room for a part 3 or any future Donny Dog games? It seems like he and really fucking get along.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, like, if you have that much creative synergy, you'd be like, even if he's not an active part, be like, hey, we're making this game, we're really struggling with this, and like Craig just fucking knows what, like, it's like he and Neil have like they're like two halves of one brain cell, just like boop, like off like each other.
I am sure Neil has brought up like, hey, how would you end this? I'm sure he's brought it up, because like that's like writers, creative minds, they do that. Like, what would be your take? Or like, hey, here's my take. What are your thoughts on it? Like, they do that. Supernatural. They did that with Eric Kripke. Like, hey, this is how I wrote it. What would you do here? What would you do differently? And he's like, well, it's not what I would do, but like, I do like the ending for whatever reason.
On a side note, that show, I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but we're getting off topic here, but this is like actually kind of story relevant going here. Or not story relevant, but I think you'll find it interesting. I don't know if you heard about how the series was originally supposed to end, like
season 5.
Not originally. Like the last, like season 15 or whatever the hell they were on. So my wife loves Super.
Yes,
my wife,
she does. Yes, she does. She's mad that I watched the Scooby-Doo episode without watching the rest of Supernatural.
Yeah. But that being said, so my wife was watching it, and I know it kind of ended on like it was a really weird note, but it was filmed during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, what they were gonna do was, COVID really fucked him, dude. Like, I feel like it's like actually, like, I don't care for the show, but I feel so bad for like the writers and the fans, because it was gonna be like every fucking actor from the series was gonna like show up and have this big party at the end. They were gonna have what's the Kansas playing Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas
cool.
was gonna literally playing, and like it was just it sounded incredible. And then they did not get that at all. It was like a very not great.
They should do that with Last of Us, and all the dead characters come back as, you know, infected.
Yeah.
You just imagine Pedro Pascal.
Oh, he would own it. He would still be the most charming person.
Probably.
But so you liked the change. I wasn't. I'm not sure.
It works.
I agree. I think you're right that it would have been it made the show feel very soap opera-y.
Yeah.
But I do think it kind of her being so. It's what I realized. I think I have one grievance with the season two so far, and they have three episodes to turn it around. And I think you'll understand where I'm coming from when I say this. But it's too happy. Shockingly, but there's a lot more positivity.
Yeah.
In the show, like, or in the game, I've been watching it with when I was watching my friend play. I realized, God, it's oppressive from the beginning. Just this uncrushing darkness. And here it's like, oh, we have. I mean, I do love the line that Ellie says about I'm gonna be a dad, but there's not even a semblance of that in the game. It's anger and despair and resentment. And I'm not sure how I feel about that because I feel like, I don't know.
I think the game goes a little bit deeper, and I think the game has time to go deeper in a lot of these emotions. And we live through the violence where like they haven't really had to be violent a whole lot other than the one or two people they had to kill. Like, they haven't had to be violent, you know, other than the moment of Joel's death. It's rather been, I wouldn't say, like, happy with, like, the infected attack, but, like, there hasn't been a whole lot of violence for them to, like, shape and turn. And I don't think it gets, I guess episode 6 is probably going to be the happy episode. But I don't think we're going to leave season 2 with the same feel, if that makes sense.
I hope you're right. It's just we'll see. I'm very nervous about how they're going to capture that element because I do think that's such a like important part about the
also
show.
No Tommy.
That's a huge.
And I don't know if it's a spoiler for later on. Just like in the game, there's a Tommy presence. So far, there isn't. I don't know if he comes or doesn't come, but there is a Tommy presence in Seattle. All right. I have one question that's a little political. Their romance in the game, I feel like, is one of those things that's not really in your face. It's just like, yep, these are the characters. They're falling in love. That's it. Whereas the show is slightly more in your face. And I say slightly as in, like, you see the rainbows in Seattle, and I've been to a pride parade in Seattle. They go fucking nuts. It's a good time.
They go nuts.
They go nuts. It's a good time. Pride, like, Seattle Pride. You guys, you do it well. But you see the pride flags, and you get Dina, like, coming out story. My question is, for those who like to get in political side of this, is it too woke?
It's a loaded question.
It is.
As somebody with a burgeon, like a small starting, trying to, you know, start a TikTok, I'm a little scared, but I'm going to say maybe a little, not a lot, but it definitely is kind of like, I think if they, to their credit, that part, the pride flag part is in the game. There is a spark, there's like a
whole story
to go into.
I'm sure.
But it's not that big. And I did like the jokes they made about it. But I get, it's very like, I think, okay, maybe what it is like, it's very try-hard-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, like, I'm not, and I have no disrespect for the characters. I love Ellie and Dina. They're probably like some of my favorite, like, banter in the series, but we already know where the show stands. We've already had Bill and Ted. Why am I fucking blanking on his name?
Bill and Frank.
Thank you. Bill and Frank. We've already had Ellie and Riley. But now we have Ellie and Dina.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ellie like, and no, Kate? Like we know where the, huh?
Ellie and Kate, the horrible supervisor.
Oh, yeah, Kate, one of the two, yeah.
It might have been Kat.
Something like that. But we already know where the, I guess where my thing is, like, we already know where the show stands. Like, they, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But if, I don't know. It's so tough. Cause like, it's the part where I'm like, I keep coming back to is it's in the game. If it wasn't in the game, then I'd be like, oh, okay. Yes. I understand. But because it's in the game, I can kind of like, be like, all right, whatever.
I'm sure there's feel for those to make fun of it. I'm sure that they're like, I'm going to be a dad. They're going to make fun of it. I'm sure they're going to make fun. Like, I'm sure there someone's going to complain that it's too woke. I think
100%. I don't think this show is for people that think shit's woke though. So
that's fair. That is more than fair. I think it's one of those. I noticed that like it's a little bit more in the front. It's more front and center where like Dean and Ellie's romance, like it's a big part of the game. But like the fact that they're gay isn't like a thing that is overly talked about. Whereas I think like this is
you hit it right on the head there. Yeah. Like I don't what I don't like about. What I like about Ellie and Dina is them as characters, and I love their relationship as human beings. Yeah. I don't care if they could be, like, Dina could be, like, not actually, this wouldn't work, but it could be Dina as a dude and Ellie as still a woman, whatever. It wouldn't matter. It's just that they have such a good chemistry as characters.
Mm-hmm. Dina is, like, goofy like Ellie, but, like, yes. in the version of the game, Dina still has her innocence, where, like, Ellie kind of lost that. So yeah. Ellie becomes, like, that, you know, that she becomes more hollow and becomes more Joel-like, and Dina kind of becomes that Ellie, and you get that, like, that banter, and it's, like, more of a flirty friend banter that, like, you get to see, like, the romance and the cute little nods, or, like, you know, Dina be like, you're cute, or, like, you're a badass. And then in the show, it's just, it's a little more on the nose. Like, it's a little bit more in front of you.
When you brought up, like, the part where they're like, oh, yeah, I realize they like girls and boys. It was like, I think where my, like, where I was like, in my opinion, I'm like, what point does that serve? Because I still like Dina. I don't care if Dina's, she can be whatever she wants to be. It, yeah. It literally, like, I mean, I guess good for representation, if anything. But as far as, like, does it affect my opinion of the character? Not really at all.
My question is, if this was a real life conversation, I wouldn't know. I'm not a gay man. Never had to deal with, you know, never had to have that coming out moment. So I wouldn't know. But my question is, like, in real life, is this how this conversation would go? Or is this more of a TV show conversation? I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's a mixture of both. I think, like, sometimes you just have to talk about the subject, and there's nothing wrong with talking about the subject, but sometimes we have dealt with it in our society where we get a little too on nose with like the messaging of inclusion, which not bad messaging, but it's ingenuine.
The problem is that it can feel very insincere and very like, okay, sure. And, instead of you being like, yeah, hell yeah. Like, totally with these guys.
And this writing just, it feels like whoever wrote this, it kind of comes across as like, oh yeah, we're just going to make it a point to the casual audience that they're gay lovers. And that's fine with like that, but it just feels like you could have done it a little bit better in a way that's like very like obvious, but like you don't have that on the nose dialogue where it's like, is this...
It's very obtuse, and like considering the show had Bill and Frank, who in my opinion had a fantastic,
that was amazing episode,
beautifully written. That's where I'm like, I think that's where the disappointment is. It's not that like I don't care about the representation and like that they have the conversation, but it was felt just very like shoehorned in there instead of like thoughtful to be like, what, like it's and been they, maybe just because the audience who were like, okay, it's very clear that Dina,
and we never get something like this in the game where it's like a little bit more on the nose.
So I think, it's not, I wouldn't say it's too woke. I think I'm disappointed at how they did it. Not because they did it, but because I feel like they could have done it better.
Yeah.
How they could have, I don't know. I'm a critic, so I have the easiest job in the world. I just get to sit and...
Let's put it in dem ratings. It was a 3-line in a 5 show.
Yes, it's absolutely.
It's a good line. It's fine. It does its job. It does its message. But it's a 3-line. It's one of the worst like bits of dialogue in probably the whole show. It's not awful, but I'm like, it's not like too woke, but it's like, it's just a little on the nose, and I'm like, it could have been done better.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to the subway. I
Such
think
a
I've asked
subway.
this, I think we've asked this before. Do we like Mass Infected more than just like a several?
Fuck yeah, dude. It's so tight. Like, honestly, okay, this is what I was gonna say at the top of the episode. Last season, everybody bitched. There wasn't enough infected.
Oh,
This season, like, well, we'll give you fucking infected.
yeah.
We'll give them to you. We'll give you hordes. We'll give you so many you don't know what to do with.
I'm gonna re-ask this question with the
Okay.
subway scene. Is The Last of Us overcompensating with the amount of affected that they're putting on screen? And
Not
I
possible.
think they are. I think they are. I think
Not
they're
possible.
overcompensating just a little bit.
I
I
think, wait, hear me out, hear me out. I'm a counterpoint to this.
okay.
I can see your argument, but if you think about it from a logical perspective, it makes
It makes
sense. They're
sense. I
in a
know.
city, it's a highly dense area. It's not like all the infected were just like, oh, I guess we'll just die then.
Do you know?
They
Okay. This is why I don't like it as much.
Okay, hit me.
This episode did a really good job of making me feel like I'm playing the game because like it did a lot of those scenes very, very well. The TV station scene where, they arrive. They see all the dead Seraphite or the dead wolves because of the Seraphites or what we assumed as the Seraphites, and the wolves come in. It made me feel like the game again, like that. Oh shit! Like oh shoot! We're instead of just walking around, it's oh no, we have to go in that hiding. And it made me feel like the game, and it reminded me of the scene in the game and how to do it. And it's like it's cool watching it because like for me, I just murder everybody. I just go through everybody and often forget you could just run away. They, obviously take out one person, two people, and then they run away. It's like makes sense that they can't literally take on everybody. They're not, fucking Rambo here. They're not Joel in a hospital scene trying to save a girl. Like there is some limitations to how much violence you can do. Whereas a video game, there's kind of that fantasy element to it. But I really like the transition. Whereas in the subway scene, we got that transition a little bit, but then it was just all infected. And for me, the game ends there. You're running and there's just hordes of infected. So it didn't really change the story one bit. But it would have been cool to have that intimate scene. It's not as intimate with a mass of infected because you're just running for your life hoping for the best. The intimate scene is what in the game we get a lot, which is where it's like you're in the subway, there's clickers all around you, and you have to like sneak and kill one by one or sneak around it. We got a little bit in season one and with the museum. I thought that was dope. I want to see more of it. So I'm somewhat disappointed that we didn't get more of that scene, but I'm fine with the mass amounts because I do think it's really cool. I think it's scary as fuck and it's cool to see. And yes, they are very much overcompensated with the amount of clickers. I
They
kind of
are
love
by a
it.
little
It's kind of like
bit.
it's what is it? Malicious compliance.
You're like,
Like,
oh,
oh, you want clickers? We'll
we'll
fucking
give
give
you
you clickers.
cookers.
It's like when I worked at McDonald's and someone's like, I want extra onions. And when I say I want extra onions, I want extra onions. So I literally would take two handfuls and just give
Toss
them,
it on the
and I would
fucker.
give them an onion bit. And then, of course, they would come back and be like, you gave me two onions. Like you said, extra onions. So I just gave you an onion sandwich.
Jake, for what it's worth, I would have eaten that sandwich like nobody's business. I fucking love onion. I would have been like, hell yes, dude. Just like them dripping all
You would
over my
hope
face.
so. If you're gonna ask for like a
Oh,
buns
God,
of
I'd
extra, I'm gonna just be like, you know what? It's not my money, and it's not really costing that much. Boom, put it on. I don't know if I have any more questions. I think that's my other question is did Dina believe Ellie, or did she think she had to shoot her?
I think she was like, I'm gonna pray to God she's not fucking with me.
I think she like after a few hours she like realized, and I think at that point that's in the headcanon, when she realized that Ellie was telling the truth, she was then thinking the future, like, oh, that's back on, but holy shit, like, she doesn't know. She
Yep.
just revealed her secret. I'm going to let it out. I thought it was an interesting, like, But I also thought it was a very human moment.
I will say, I thought it was really strange that she was like, I'm pregnant. And then they had sex. I was like, what? I think there would be a lot more. I'd be like, whoa.
I'm pregnant.
Say what? Now,
let me check you out just a little bit, Dina. I'm just saying, I had the same thought. Was like,
that's where they played hide the fingers. And
I'm just like, I don't know if I was Ellie. If someone told me that, like, if my girlfriend told me that she was pregnant with somebody else's child, I don't think my first reaction would to put my hand in that area.
Yeah, I would be like I'd be asking more questions. I'd be like,
I'm not saying the writers got it wrong. I'm not saying Ellie's wrong. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, okay, go Ellie. Their sex scene was placed differently. It happened in Jackson under Eugene's farm.
I will say, they definitely, as much, even though I like that they brought the farm, we got through that part yesterday, my buddy and I. Mm. And the video game farm is way more fucking bad. Literally like, it's a fucking cartel level, like, hot farm. You're like, holy shit. If you saw this in real life, you'd be like, I'm going to die because some dude around here is going to be screaming La Policia and I'm going to get popped in the fucking face.
Yeah, it was well decked out and hidden too. It was a hidden farm. All right. I think that's the questions I have. Any other thing, Michael?
I'm really curious where they're gonna, like, every episode I'm just like, okay, how are you guys gonna do this? Like, I already, like, I won't say anything too much about how I think the season's gonna end.
They're gonna have to cut some things out, Michael. We can't get everything. I didn't get my bank heist.
That's true.
I don't know why I like that scene. Cut
things. I just need, like, I feel like for the show to land the same way the game does, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to, but I feel like for it to do that, it has to get to that dark place, and I haven't quite seen that yet.
Episode 5
might be it. That might be the turning point. But
Lakeside Hospital, is that St. Mary's? Was this like? It was a different. It was like St. Mary's.
I think it is St. Mary's Hospital.
No, St. Mary's was. I'm pretty sure St. Mary's was. It was in Seattle. What was Salt Lake? Either way, like, they switched the name, which I thought was interesting. It was Lakeside, not St. Mary's. I don't know if that means anything, but I think episode 5 is when we get into that dark place. And I think that's the whole point, is we get to the dark place and I think we get spores. Finally. I thought we were getting spores here. Spores are coming.
We haven't. Okay. If this is a spoiler, you can edit me.
We're supposed to get spores.
They haven't shown Shamblers yet. And I'm really disappointed by that. Honestly, really disappointed by that.
Next episode.
I hope, man. Would be the episode where they did it.
Next episode. I think I'm going to wait till the next episode before I go. Yeah. All right. MVC. I think there's only 3 choices. I think my one is
Shimmer.
Anyways. Shimmer? The horse?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Shimmer's still alive, by the way. Good for him.
Yeah, I noted that.
I mean, to me, it's the Ellie and Dina. Which one? You can do Ellie 1A, Dina 1B.
I have to give it to Ellie because I'm going to be a dad. It's the most peak line in this show.
I'm going to be a dad. I mean, I feel happy for her. But it was just like, is that what Ellie would say? It feels very, like, it feels corny.
I love it. It was so. I literally just died laughing. I remember Haley had texted me something during the episode that made me laugh. Oh, never mind. It was about the what's with all the rainbows line made her laugh.
Oh.
So.
What's with all the rainbows? I mean, like, they wouldn't know.
They must have been a very happy people.
They're just very colorful folks.
Yes.
MVP. You could just say Wolves. You could say Seraphites. But honestly, it's Isaac just for the performance. But he's not really a villain at this point, at this stage. Like, he's presented that way, but he's not, like, he doesn't.
How do I put it? He hasn't fought with our characters yet.
And I almost said something. We're going to leave it there. Best new character is Isaac as well. I think that's, unless we put Josh Peck's character in there.
Honorable mention, for sure.
Honorable mention, Josh Peck. I did not recognize you. I will immediately watch that scene afterwards and be like, how did I not recognize you, Josh Peck?
He's the
voice,
man. He's just got, like, it's something with the delivery. I can't.
He's a more serious actor these days, so I'm not.
He was great in Oppenheimer. He didn't have very much, but just it was cool seeing him show up in there.
He's like a smaller actor, but I think everyone like knows him. He's kind of small time.
That's like so peak. Can you imagine that? You get to show up in a bunch of cool shit, have a few lines, and that's your job. And you're probably making a decent amount of money doing it because you're Josh Peck.
I mean,
like, you don't need to be fucking Cillian Murphy. You're just like, yeah.
Well,
I'm still gonna be in his movie.
Choo choo. All right. Anything else, Pape?
Oh, not much. Shameless plug here. I'm going to try to be posting some more vids online.
Pixel Loose
and TikTok. Hopefully, all right. I'm excited to put some more content forward there.
I need to get more content as well. Maybe through this podcast.
And drop and give a like and a follow to my man Jake here. Don't evolve.
Yes, please. Very much would appreciate it. Also, meet Mr. Meme on the first in the YouTube page. I will wait for whoever can beat him.
Because
he usually wins often. All right. Well, thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Jake. Ew,
Poppy. All right. Until next week, guys.
Next week.
And hey, we made it. You didn't have to leave.
I didn't have to leave. I'm looking at my phone intensely right now. I'm waiting for it.
It's going to happen in 5, 4,
don't even say that.
3. 2, 1. Eh?
You already jinxed it. It's going to happen. That's going to happen.
I was hoping it would happen in the moment, and I think you would have to respect it.
I would have been so angry, but I would have been like, God damn it.
Are you going to go through the four motions of, have you tried restarting it? Is it plugged in?
Pretty much, yeah.
Have you replaced your cache?
Usually it's not. End of the world or anything. It's just, it always happens the worst fucking time. It can't ever happen. I mean, honestly, if I'm at home, I'm usually already doing something. So, yeah, I mean, you know how it goes.
I know. All right, Michael. Thank you.
Right. It was nice being on video with you this time, brother.
Yes. It's nice seeing your face.
I'll tell this to the audience before we go. I was going to mess with Jake, everybody. Jake ruined the prank. I want that to be made very clear. I came in, I had the camera plugged in, but I turned off my video. I was going to wait till we started recording, and then I was going to do Sergeant Dokes and be like, turn it on and be like, surprise, motherfucker! But no, that got squashed.
There's a button where I can undo the screen, and I was really curious.
Tom over here.
I saw that it was off, so I was like, this is weird, this is different, pressed it, and here he was. I was like, oh, it's Michael.
I thought I did it, so I was really mad. I was like, God damn it, I ruined my prank. So I'm a little bit less miffed by that.
No, it was just me realizing there's something different, and I'm like, ooh, a button I can press that's different than last time, and I pressed it, and here you are.
Tell me you have ADHD without telling me you have ADHD.
I just did. All right, thank you, Michael.
All right, later, brother.